Let's get started. We are in John chapter 6 today. John chapter 6. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask as we go into your word that you help us to understand it so we may understand you more and have a closer relationship with you and be ready for your soon coming. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So John chapter 6. I love John chapter 6 so much because I feel like it is one of the most action-packed chapters in the Bible that you'll ever read. It's a long, it's one of the long ones, but it's one of the most action-packed. It's like if every chapter is a movie, John chapter 6 is a Michael Bay Transformer movie where it is just action from the beginning to the end. John chapter 6, if you guys know it, you probably know that this is the chapter where Jesus feeds the 5,000. Jesus feeds the 5,000 in this chapter. And it's something that I don't want to really focus too much on the 5,000 because we know that story so well. But I just want to give you a little background and go into the what happens in this chapter. One of the things is that Jesus feeds the 5,000, which is a massive, huge miracle, something that the people have never seen before. He preached, he saw that there was a lot of people and they were up on a mountain, and he saw that they were hungry, and Jesus in his compassion, he turns to Philip, asks, where can we find enough food for these people? Because Philip was the doubter. Now, people say that Thomas is the doubter. Thomas actually had a lot of faith. Remember, Thomas was the one that said he was willing to go into a city and die with Jesus. But it's Philip that was the great doubter. So he turns to Philip and he says, how can we feed all these people? And Philip said, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them. And we have very little. And all of a sudden, Andrew finds this boy who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, which is also another interesting real thing. It's not really pertaining to my message, but I'll just give you guys a little nugget to think about. When has a young person have brought lunch to a sermon and have waited for the sermon to finish to eat, right? Especially if you have a young 10-year-old or a young 8-year-old, how many times have you seen a mother have to leave with their child during the middle of a service to go eat those snacks, right? Because that's when they start in the middle of the sermon after 10 minutes, 15 minutes, the little kid starts going, I'm hungry. But Jesus was such an amazing preacher that he preached to this little young boy so much and so effectively that he wasn't even hungry. He was like, man, I got to listen to what Jesus has to say. So that's just a little side note for you guys. But after that, he takes what he received from Andrew, from this young boy, he prays over it, and he multiplies it. He feeds the 5,000 men. Remember, it's 5,000 men. So there is, theologians put this number at least double of 5,000 because there's women and children that are not counted. And there is so much food left over. They fill 12 baskets, and Jesus instructs them to feed, give it to the needy. And this event start something in Jesus's ministry. Because he fed the 5,000 here, this is when everybody, all the disciples start realizing, all right, he has the supernatural power of God. He is a great teacher. Not only that, he can feed us whenever we need. So you know what? It is time to make him king. So now they forcefully try to make him king. But Jesus rebukes the disciples, including his apostles, and says, I will not be made king. And he separates himself. He goes to pray. And when the disciples try to meet up with him, they actually meet him on the sea and they think he's a ghost. He's walking on water. And that's that story. So that's another story on top of that. But what I really wanted to focus on is what happened after all of this. And you find this starting in verse 30. All right. They come, the disciples that were not the apostles come and see Jesus. It's the next day. And verse 30, therefore they said to him, what sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe in you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So Jesus, after feeding all the 5,000, had the apostles see him walk on water, another great, amazing miracle that we know today. And now the disciples, not the apostles, the disciples come up to Jesus and they ask him to feed them again, just as Moses gave them manna in the desert. And then Jesus had to correct them and say, no, it wasn't Moses that gave you manna in the desert. It was the Father from heaven who gave you the manna. And then they ask us, well, give us bread. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. So here is where the disciples start to have a struggle, because they're like, well, I don't get it. We got free food from Jesus. He's able to feed an army. We'll be able to use this to overthrow the Romans. We'll be able to fight them because we'll have free food. We don't have to raise money to have an army. And yet Jesus is not even willing to do that again. And he's saying now to eat of him and become cannibals, and they don't get it. And it becomes this whole discussion that the disciples don't get until you reach verse 60. Many of the disciples, when they heard this, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? They still didn't get it. And we come to John 6. Verse 66. Now, people always liken this, you know, 6666. John 6, verse 66, which is a very interesting verse, because it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, so these are the apostles, all right? There was many disciples that were with Jesus. But after this, after he fed 5,000 and shown that he has the ability to perform miracles, given authority from his Father in heaven, and he's saying he's receiving this authority from his Father in heaven, he showed that he could walk on water to his apostles. And now they don't understand his saying. So now many of his disciples walked with him no more. And Jesus turns to the 12. With a sad face, and he says, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's where I want to end, because that is so powerful. So even Jesus, the Son of God, seeing the disciples leave him, and he knew that they had to, because they were following him for the wrong reasons. They were following him for what they could get out on the earth, temporal reasons, as Sister White likes to put it, for him. Following Jesus will give them status, will give them food, will give them a nice house, will give them a nice car. Praying to him will give them a nice spouse. I don't know if I'm sounding familiar to anybody, but following Jesus will lead to a great life on earth. But Jesus is like, no, this is not the main purpose to follow me. The main purpose to follow me is that I am the bread of life, and he who is with me shall never hunger. And what we are hungering for, what we surely should be hungering for, is not for food to feed our physical stomachs every day. It's to feed our spiritual selves that only Jesus, only God can fulfill. That hole, that emptiness that many of us go through, that emptiness of depression, of anxiety, of never being good enough, of never being loved enough, that emptiness that no matter how many possessions or no matter how many accolades or accomplishments you sustain can never fill, but Jesus can fill it. That hole that God knows we have because we are missing the Creator in our lives. That hole that is there because when we were created, we're to have that relationship with our Creator at all times. Jesus is referring to, I'm the one that can fill that hole. And because he said this, many disciples left him that day. John 6, verse 66. Many of his disciples left him. And he wasn't as popular anymore. He wasn't as beloved as anymore because he wasn't fulfilling the earthly needs. You know, I could be a really popular and powerful preacher. All I have to do is not call out the repercussions of sin and just tell you how great it is if you pray to God and have your dreams fulfilled. You know, there's many preachers that are doing that and are well liked today. But Jesus was of a different breed. And what's interesting is when he turns to the 12, and even though ministry was not about Jesus's ego, he was a humble and powerful leader. His humility is an example to us to this day. Even then, he still felt sad, not for really his sake, but he felt sad for all those disciples that left. And he turns to those disciples, those apostles, those 12 that were closest to him. And he says, will you leave also? And Peter, usually who always puts his foot in his mouth, in this occasion is filled with the Holy Spirit. And he says, not to what shall we go? He says, but to whom shall we go? So it wasn't, what are we getting out of our relationship with Jesus? It was, who are we getting out of our relationship with Jesus? And that is so powerful. That is so powerful. Peter, in this verse, is saying, we follow Jesus not because of what we get out of it. Isn't that crazy? A lot of the times when we were young and we were spiritual infants, the reason we followed Jesus was because we don't want to die and we want to live forever. We want to live in a perfect paradise. So we follow Jesus. But then when you get spiritually mature, and this is what the Holy Spirit led us to understand. This is what the Holy Spirit led Peter to understand in understanding that he was not a spiritual giant at this time, but in this moment, he is spiritually mature, and he tells Jesus, to whom shall we follow? Because it's not what can fill that hole, it's who can fill that hole. And Jesus, you are the one that can do that. And we want to follow you, not because of what you can do for us, but because of who you are, because of your character, because of your love, because of your compassion, because of how much you love us. We want to hang out with you, Jesus, because no one else on this planet can do what you do. And that's what I want you guys to leave thinking about in John chapter 6, that we don't follow Jesus because he can feed us the physical food. We follow Jesus because when we hang out with him, we will always be spiritually fed. And if you ever read John chapter 4, when you're spiritually fed, it can fill you even greater than being physically fed. And that's what I wanted to say.
Great word as always. Great word.
Amen. Amen. Anyway. All right.
Why were the disciples who deserted Jesus so offended by what he was saying? Because I think what Jesus was saying was just not that he would desert you materially, but that he would fulfill you emotionally and spiritually. Well, actually, never mind. I guess they were being very materialistic in their following of Jesus. And once they realized that he wasn't necessarily there primarily for that, they were just really disappointed. I mean, I guess that's my takeaway.
Yeah, it's... Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Matthew, if you wanted
to... Yeah, no, just to kind of, I don't know if answer it or to build on it, but I think what we looked at is Peter, who was really a rough around the edges kind of guy, but he, you know, it's almost like that we're not serving him to get something from him. We're serving him to serve him, you know, to love him. Our serving him is built out of love. So I think of the people who deserted Jesus were serving to get something from him instead of serving out of a place of loving him. And like, it's almost like transactional. Like, I'm gonna walk with Jesus so I can get, I don't know, I'll make it modern, a new car or a new house or the spouse I want, as opposed to I'm doing it out of love. So that might be why.
Mm-hmm.
So they were in it for their own personal gain instead of like a relationship with him. That's my take, maybe.
Yeah.
Great take. In fact, Sonny, even the 12 were like this. If you read and how James and John's mom comes up to Jesus.
Oh, so, yeah.
Yeah, put them at the left and the right. They were discussing at the Last Supper who would be greatest in the kingdom. It's so interesting how we are so, and we are like that today. We are so used to having relationships with people, so we get something out of it. Like you said, Sonny, quid pro quo. We've heard that term a lot recently. But basically, we are so used to relationships being quid pro quo, and we're actually taught that in our beginning of our Christian lives. Where I remember, you know, being an irreverent kid during opening Sabbath, and my dad, to get me to be obedient, he said, "You know, you're gonna die one day, and the way that you can be is through Jesus." And then, you know, I started serving him, and I was like, "Yeah, I don't want to die," because and we've been taught that. But something I heard Pastor Ty Gibson say, and it blew my mind when I was at the Arise Intensive. He said, "Serving Jesus is the gift in itself. Period. Just accepting Jesus as your Savior is the gift in itself. Period." If Jesus and God did not offer eternal life, to just serve them and to acknowledge them as the creator and savior would be the gift in itself in your life, period. And people were like, "What? Really? If we would die and never resurrect, we would still serve God? What? But I'm not." Yes, because serving God, serving Jesus, you get everything else that comes with it. You get the peace, you get the joy, you get the understand, all these things that you would have in your life, your whatever how many years you have on this earth would be better just serving God, even if you didn't have eternal life. But because of who he is, and that's why we love him and that's why we serve him, because of who he is, we are offered eternal life. And that's why we serve God, because of who he is, his character is so loving that he will always give us more than we ask of him. And that's what Jesus is trying to tell the disciples that ran away. They're saying, "Give us the food every day. Give us breakfast, lunch, and dinner." And Jesus is like, "Man, it's not about that. If you just serve me, I'm thinking even beyond your physical needs. I'm thinking beyond that. I'm thinking about your spiritual needs. I'm thinking about your temporal needs on earth, but I'm thinking about I have something prepared for you even in heaven. I have everything down packed for you. The itinerary is already made. Just serve me. Just follow me. And you'll be amazed at where you go." And that's what Jesus is telling us today. So let's not... when we look at John chapter 6, let's remember that Jesus fed the 5,000 that day, not to show that he's there to always give the physical need, but to prove that in that moment that he is the Son of God, so that people can turn to him for more than the physical needs. All right, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to come together and to hear your word. We ask that you continue to be in our hearts and our minds to remind us that serving you is the gift in itself, because you are our best friend. You are our closest confidant. You never betray us. And to have you in our lives leads to so much more. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.